good to be worshiping in the presence of Jesus. There's a verse in the scripture from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and in the middle of the verse it says this: obedience to the faith. Because the obedience to the faith has a big impact upon nations. And so this morning, just want to talk about faith. There's an old chorus, many of you might know it: faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost, victories are won. Demons will tremble and sinners awake. Faith in Christ Jesus will everything shake. It's good to have faith in God.
Yes.
Because He's a rock, and rocks are not moved. You know, when you talk about faith, there's two periods of time that we have in the scripture where you don't need any faith. Adam never needed any faith because he spoke to God the cool of the day. The Bible tells us when Jesus comes back to reign, He's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to reign from Jerusalem. So you'll not need faith because you're going to see Him. In fact, the Bible says when He comes, every eye shall see Him. So there's two periods of time where you don't need faith because you'll be able to see Jesus. Now, when we come to the scriptures, the great chapter on faith is found in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11. And the verse tells us two things: faith is substance, and it is evidence of things not seen. So faith has got substance in it, but it's evidence of things not seen. So in the beginning, God spoke the word and He brought heavens and earth into being. So faith, when we come to look at it, it is something tangible, but not everybody grasps it. And this verse is telling us that faith is tangible. If you think of this scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 4, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And what was it he obtained? He obtained witness. He was righteous. So he done something, and God says he's a righteous man. Then you have Enoch. Enoch is translated, and he never died. But what's his testimony? He pleased God. Then we have Noah, being warned of God of a flood. What did he do? He prepared an ark. So faith was made manifest by the actions of these people. But it says in verse 2, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. And then verse 6, it says, it tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. And the question is, why? Because when you come to God, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So Hebrews 11 gives details from the Old Testament of those who acted in faith. But if you go to the Old Testament and look for the word faith, how many times are you going to find it? Anybody know? How many times do you find faith in the Old Testament? Two times. So Hebrews 11 is telling you all about these people of faith. But when you go to the Old Testament, you only find the word faith mentioned twice. In fact, the first time is not actually a very good time. But there's in Scripture what they talk about the law of first mention. And so when we come to Scripture, Deuteronomy 32:20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. children in whom is no faith. First time it's ever mentioned. The children who have no faith. And what is the background? Well, the background is, of course, the children of Israel in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy 32 opens with God calling on the heavens to listen to what he's going to say and for the earth to hear his words. So God has taken the heavens and the earth to witness what he's going to say. He said, these are children of no faith. But yet we saw the miracles of God. But they are children of no faith. And the passage goes on to tell us how they corrupted themselves and worshipped the golden calf, etc., which we know the story of through the wilderness. They corrupted themselves. The Bible in the New Testament tells us sin comes from the heart, comes from within. So that's the first time we hear about it. Now, it's reflected in the New Testament, in Romans 1:23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible men. Verse 25, and they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Do you know what I've just done there? They worship the creator, the creature, more than the creator. They took the second commandment, love your neighbor, and made that the first commandment. And took the first commandment, you'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and took and demoted it. You will always find they want to bring Christ down to the level of man. They will always want to bring Christianity down to man's level because they do not like anything that's supernatural. They do not like anything that's going to reveal their sin to them. And so there's always this pulling down. Jesus is just another man. He is this, he was this. You know, you go to the old shows many years ago, you know, he's a drug addict, he goes with this lady, you know, and they're always looking to pull Jesus down. And so the scripture says here, they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And so this is the background here. And of course, there's consequences when you do this. Romans 1:24. God gave them up to uncleanness. You know, the Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. Every action, there is consequences. God gave them up to uncleanness. What was that uncleanness? To dishonor their own bodies. Go to verse 26. God gave them up to vile affections. That's their soul, the seat of their emotions, their affections, they're defiled, their dirty affections and emotions. And God gives them up. Romans 1:28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Their spirit, depraved, unprincipled, wicked person. And so when they take away the knowledge of God and they want to bring it down and do it to corruptible man, consequences start to take place. And it affects the body, affects the soul, and it affects the person's spirit. But there's always hope in the gospel.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, in Deuteronomy, they corrupted themselves. In the Gospels, we read about how people defile themselves. But the good news is, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. It's a good verse. Such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So no matter how much defilement comes, as we're going to see, there's something stronger. The power of God and the Word of God. And so that's the first time that we read about faith in Scripture. A generation that has no faith. The second time we read about it, and it only has two times in Old Testament, is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. One of the things you'll find when the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament, he does have a habit of not quoting the Old Testament verbatim. And if we come and we look at the scriptures here, Romans 1:17, chapter 1, verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Galatians 3:17, "But that no man be justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So have you noticed how Paul, he takes Habakkuk 2 and 4, but he misses out the word his faith. I say the just shall live by faith. So in the New Testament, faith is in what Jesus Christ did for you. In the Old Testament, faith is an individual's faith responding to the instructions that God gave us. Believe in God and it's counted for his righteousness. But the New Testament is so much different. So the question comes up, whose faith? Whose faith? I'm going to read a few scriptures because I wanted to think in how powerful the gospel is that we proclaim today. You need to have it sinking into you and realize there's something about the gospel that goes far beyond your ability and your faith. In Romans 3:3, it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" So if people don't believe, does that make the faith of God without effect? The thing about Romans, the faith of God, the righteousness of God, the judgment of God, it goes through all the different things. Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So whose faith is the faith of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And of course the famous version of Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but it's not me, it's Christ that lives in me." Basically saying, I'm living in this body. No, because faith in his body, but it's not me that's living, it's Christ that's living in me. And as we carry on, in Ephesians says, "According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Because with Christ's faith, we have access, we have boldness. Philippians says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourself, it is a gift of God." So here we come into the place where the Bible's telling us the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, was given to you by God.
Amen.
It's a gift. Everybody has the ability to respond when they hear the gospel.
Amen.
So it didn't matter these people who have they've sinned against their soul, their spirit, and they're into the very depths of deprivation, and they're bound by sin. The Bible says when you hear the word of God, that word is so powerful, it can light and has sparked faith in them so that they can take hold of the faith of Jesus. See, the great thing about the gospel is it's originated in heaven. Everything put into place is done by the Holy Spirit. And so from the beginning to the end is the will of God. Our position is to respond because God has put a measure of faith within us. And so that's why the scripture says, so by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And once we realize what God has done is very powerful.
Amen.
We go out and we look there, sometimes you think, how on earth are you going to win people? But you see, when the Spirit of God quickens the word of God, no matter where a person is, it can spark faith in them to believe in Christ.
Amen.
As soon as that faith is sparked, you know God reaches down to lift them up. It is the power of the gospel. And so in Ephesians, famous passage which we know in 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift.
Amen.
God freely gives it to everyone. Because you have to remember what the scripture says. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Amen.
God goes to extraordinary lengths to rescue the wicked. He goes far beyond what we can ever imagine or think. He has no pleasure whatsoever. He will reach down and people's faith can come alive when they hear the gospel. That's why we're going to preach. We have confidence. We preach the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, God raised him up from dead. Even that tomb, that 30 second of just saying, this is the gospel, that can quick. Somebody hears that. Their faith can be stopped by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because it is a gift that comes. And the faith is available to all. Romans 10:8. For what saveth the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So what word? The word of faith. We preach it. And what do we preach? We preach Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Power of the gospel. Rescuing people. There's always hope. Darkness cannot overcome light. The powers of darkness cannot overcome the Lord Jesus Christ. He has already triumphed. He's made an open show of the principalities and powers of power. So faith is provided to a person when the gospel is preached, the word of God. And that's why Paul talks about obedience to the faith in Romans 1:5. For whom we have received grace and apostleship, for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We respond to the gift that God has given us, and then we bring our lives into alignment of all the things which are in the scripture because of the higher purpose. And that purpose is for the Lord's name to be glorified in the nations.
Amen.
He wants to be glorified. To be obedient to the faith requires that you need to know your Bible. Because if you don't know your Bible, you can easily be deceived. Being obedient to faith, you'll be expected to pray and have times of communion with the Father. You exercise your faith in the gospel. You're generous and giving. You're bringing your life into alignment with the word of God. We were just talking just before we came up, we were just talking about how do you get the heart changed? It's what comes in through the mind, what you start to believe. Start to believe in the Word of God, start to get your life transformed.
Amen.
You believe the Word of God starts to take it, the Word of God starts to shift things. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is that which we preach.
Amen.
That's why we're out in the open air preaching the gospel, because we expect to see a harvest. We expect to see lives being touched. We expect to see that spark come alive in people when they hear the Word, because God is in the business of saving people. We must never and ever underestimate how much desire God has to rescue those who are blind and in darkness. And so, the gospel, and of course, we need to know the Bible, we bring our lives into it, and we do everything for His namesake, for His glory. And in life, there's different kinds of faith. In Titus, it talks about the common faith. There's the common faith. Of course, Shai's Titus is the church in Crete. And Paul uses the expression, my son. And it's an interesting thing because you find in the Bible, Saul talked about David as his son. So you find that the expression, my son, can be used not just of your immediate son, but can be, as Paul's case, son that was saved from him. Saul's case is a son-in-law. And so you get all that in the scripture. But the Bible tells us, you've got the common faith, which is the hope of eternal life. And as it says in Titus, which God cannot lie. We have a hope of eternal life because of what Christ has done for us and the faith that comes alive in us when we hear the gospel. And because Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And of course we know what the gospel is. Just quoted it. How did Christ die for our sins according to the scriptures? And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then there's people who've just got human faith. Jesus answering said to people, have faith in God. Stir yourselves up, have faith in God. Then there's divine faith. The one which we quoted with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I live, it's Christ living in me. We've got the core of Christian faith. It's in 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is a gift from God, you have that witness in yourself when you respond. When you respond, when you hear the gospel, the Bible says you then get that witness. You know, people quite often show me and then I will do it. But the scripture says, obey and then you'll discover. You respond when the Spirit of God is starting to convict you of sin, to bring your life and to get saved. Then the Bible says, you will know and you'll have a witness in yourself that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. What a contrast. People who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible says, are liars. They've made themselves liars. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Jesus states he is the Son of God. Paul says he is the Son of God. Matthew says he is the Son of God. Luke says he is the Son of God. John says he is the Son of God. Peter says he is the Son of God. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Because in John 1:12 it said, but as many as received them, him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You've got power because you've responded to the gift of eternal life that God has placed in you when you heard the gospel. When you heard the gospel, you believed. The Bible tells us here, when you've received Christ, you then had the power to become the sons of God. And John goes on to say, but these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things are written for your benefit. These things are written so you might believe. These things are written to encourage you. These things are written to know God loves you.
Amen.
Above everything else, God loves you. When he went to the cross, he went to the cross for you and I. Everything in the plans and purposes of God and all to bring back to him, those who were bound by sin and lost for eternity, because they are coming to rescue them. And we buy the Old Testament. God says to Noah, build an ark. So Noah goes and builds it. So it's accounted to him righteousness. In the New Testament, God's already put faith in you, so that when you hear, you can have the ability to respond. And that ability, when you come and respond, you become a son of God. And of course, in the Christian life, there are different levels of faith. James said, 1:5, James said, if you lack wisdom, then ask of God. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. In Matthew chapter 6, we find a person that had little faith. Hebrews, it talks about an active faith. In Timothy, it talks about faith unfailed. It's not foolish faith. Also, Matthew talks about people having great faith. You've talked about the man that said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And of course, Hebrews 11 are all the Old Testament people. But in the New Testament, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God. And you, when you go through the Gospels, when somebody touched Jesus, remember the woman touched him. Jesus says, who touched me? Her faith in touching Jesus' garment resulted in her healing. Paul tells the Ephesians something amazing. In the New Testament, faith is in what was done for you. Jesus has done everything for you to rescue you. He has done everything so that when you hear the gospel, you have the ability to respond, because he has put a measure of faith in everybody. And that makes the gospel so strong, so powerful, the word of God so overwhelmingly decisive in how it can rescue people. And for those who respond, there is eternal life, and they're brought into the kingdom.
Amen.
In the gospels, they're preaching the gospels of the kingdom. It could be the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And Paul speaks about the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of Christ, the Saviour, died and rose again. And that is our foundation we stand upon it today. Our faith is in Christ. And we are called to be obedient to the faith, because Jesus' name has got to be glorified in the nations. And Jesus' name is glorified when we are obedient to the faith that we believe in, and that we bring our lives into alignment with that faith and what the scriptures tell us, so that Jesus Christ will be glorified.
Amen.
And the best thing about all, we never originated it. It came from heaven above. God's plan for you and for me, responding to the gospel, becoming sons of God, living for him, and the nations seeing a witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So let's pray. Father, in